Hi, everyone, and welcome to Haley's Comet TV. And I am the host, Neil Haley, and I'm excited to welcome my co-host. And this guy is a technology guru. He's worked with companies like Amazon, Netflix, Disney, and all these different places, and such technological geniuses in film and television, Richard Grant. Richard, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest today.
Well, thank you so much for that introduction, Neil. I appreciate it. I've been lucky to do some great stuff, and here I am lucky to meet some amazing people. So it's great to be here. This evening, today, we've got the lovely Steve Fossen, bassist from Heart. He set them up. He set up the tone. Incredibly famous music, you all know. Recently inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and new work coming out. So really, really looking forward to talking about life, music, and space.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Steve, and thanks again for coming on. And Richard, let's just get started. What is your first question we have for Steve?
Well, welcome, Steve. I mean, it's really lovely to have you here. I love all kinds of music, and I have a background involved in projects at Abbey Road and things like that. So it's a real honor to talk with you. I did hear actually that there was a group in England that really inspired you to get involved with music, and I'm sure people would be interested to learn who that was, and actually if that was anything to do with the British invasion. You know, how does that work?
Well, I was, you know, let's take it back a couple of notches here, because when I was really young, I was really into like Elvis and Ricky Nelson, the Everly Brothers, you know, and all the girl groups from the day. And they taught me how to love music and appreciate like the harmonies of the Everly Brothers and everything. But the group that really set me over the top, that really inspired me to go out and get a bass and start playing, was the Beatles. Ah. And specifically Paul McCartney, because he was the bass player. So I thought, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, I mean, as inspiration, you can't go wrong, can you, with the Beatles?
No, and with the new Get Back thing that's hit the airwaves in the past month or so, I mean, it's so fascinating to see those guys that we've all loved all these years. And, you know, the Get Back thing has kind of changed the narrative as far as, you know, what we thought, because the relationships on the album footage from back in the day made it look like everybody was kind of soul-y put off by each other a little bit, but this latest Back thing shows that they were having a great time. And it's so fascinating to see, like, we our band Heart by Heart, we rehearse, you know, we're basically a garage band still. We rehearse in a garage and we sit around and we rehearse, and everybody's real anxious to play the music, but then we end up talking a lot, just like the Beatles did in the Get Back thing. And it, you know, it's fascinating to see, you know, to see them talk with each other. And then I love talking with the people in my band too.
Now, Steve, when you talk about specifically enough the Beatles, what inspired you the most of the music? What kind of just describe the music and how it really made you more and more want to be a musician?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, that I love the Everly Brothers, and I love the harmonies, and John and Paul, of course, had that. And they also had the addition of John singing, you know, or George singing the third part harmonies and everything. And then when, you know, George or John could sing a lead song, and then Paul and the other member would do the background vocals that were, you know, so beautiful and perfect. And I just love two-part harmony. I think two-part harmony is such a pleasing thing to humans, and I just really love it. So and the Beatles had that. They had it in spades, and they, you know.
Wow, and that's so true. Richard, and it takes a team, Richard, as Richard has done in his career behind in film, right, Richard, and TV.
Yeah, have everyone. I totally relate to that, you know.
For sure.
I mean, Steve, you know, a band, when you see the Beatles working together and that genius just erupting out between them, and sometimes there were fights, but when you get a collaboration, you get the beautiful thing happen. It's just glorious.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and they probably did it better than any other band in history. And I doubt, you know, I can't imagine a band in the future doing as much as they have done for, you know, humankind.
Definitely. And then that's the amazing thing of the Beatles. All right, Richard, we're just continuing this conversation here on Haley's Comet TV. And Richard, what's our next question?
Yeah, well, so a simple one, this, you know, tell me more, you know, moving forward a little bit in your timeline, tell me a little bit more about, you know, Heart by Heart and how that struck, you know, how that changed things, obviously.
Well, I was fairly disappointed with how things were going in music and as far as Heart and Steve Fossum were concerned. So I was kind of discouraged, and I kind of got out of music for many years, like from the mid 90s to about 2010 or so. And I was actually doing a lot of mountaineering around Washington State, which is kind of odd, but because it's, you know, because being in a band, it's all, everything you do is so public, but mountaineering, everything you do is, it's totally so private and nobody knows about it. So, but it was really fun in its own way. And I really enjoyed hiking with friends, and I really enjoyed, you know, doing adventures on my own. But back in 2008, Mike and I were doing a party downtown in Seattle, and we hadn't played the Heart material for years and years and years. I mean, Mike and I left the band in 82, and we didn't play Heart material hardly at all up until 2008. But then somebody requested that we do a few Heart songs for this party, so we decided to do it, but we needed a vocalist, and the vocalist that was chosen for us by somebody else was Summer Masick. And that was the first time I met Summer, and I thought she was, you know, very intelligent person and nice and, you know, polite and all the good qualities you'd want out of everybody that you meet. And she was also a very good singer. So we did the show, and everything was fine. And then over the course of the rest, that was February of 2008. And over the course of the spring and the summer and the fall, Summer and I became really good friends. And that friendship, of course, by Christmas of 2008 turned into a romance. And then we ended up, you know, hanging out together. And then I'd be playing my bass, and then it, like if I played, and then she'd start singing. So, then we'd play like Dog and Butterfly, just bass and vocals, or Crazy on You or Magic Man, just bass and vocals. And people started hearing about this duo. And so we'd play like, parties and dinner parties. And then, other people heard about it, and then we'd start doing jams at different clubs around town, and, you know, we'd get invited to play, you know, do our duo at bistros and all that kind of stuff. And then other people heard about the duo, and then a guy in Alaska, a good friend of ours, Bob Wynn, was putting on a show with Dwight Yoakam, and he asked if we would open up the show. We said, sure.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, so we thought, well, gee, you know, having a duo is a little light for opening up a rock show. So we called up Mike DeRozier, who is the original drummer from Heart, and Randy Hansen, who is a really good guitar player that we've known for years and years and years. And we said, hey, we're going to do this show in Alaska. You guys are interested? And they said, sure. So we put together a 45-minute set. And a week before the show, Dwight canceled. So we were all disappointed and everything, but we had a band, and we had really fun time learning these songs, learning the Heart material and playing together. So we just, you know, every once in a while we scheduled a rehearsal. And then another friend of ours put on a benefit show for the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Awareness. And they invited us to play, and we went there and we raised a lot of money for Susan G. Komen and, their foundation, and it was really successful. And other people saw us, and they said to this booking agent we know, hey, the Heart by Heart, they're pretty good. And so he started booking us around Seattle. And then once you start getting books, you make a website, and of course a website doesn't stay in Washington. It goes all over the world.
Right.
So then we started getting calls from the East Coast, the Midwest, and the West Coast, and then all of a sudden we're playing all over America.
Brilliant.
And the way we came up with Heart by Heart, it was back in the Duo days, and it was we tried to think of a name that had the word heart in it, but everything was taken. And then Summer was thinking one day, well, here we are, we're a duo. You're sitting here, I'm sitting here. Our hearts are together, so it's Your Heart by My Heart, and we went with it. So
it had to feel great, Steve, yeah, as a team developing this and growing this, right?
It was really great. Yeah. And plus we were, you know, in love and everything. And then a couple of years later, I popped the question, and a couple of years after that, we got married. So
great. Well, it's a lovely story. And to come out of a wonderful invite and that fall away, and then that lead to everything else, it's almost like it was meant to happen, you know, even though the first thing didn't happen.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And that's the way I like things to happen in my life, very organically. I think when you try to put things together, you know, when you try to mash stuff that really doesn't fit together, you try to mash it in there somehow, it just doesn't work as good as if you know, if one thing leads to another and it's kind of organic and everybody's, you know, worked for us.
Organic always works for sure. Or, yeah. Do you agree about that? I think organic works.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It really works. And, you know, and I'm not going to say what supergroup, but if you think of the supergroups they put together, where there's fantastic singer, fantastic guitar player, drummer, bass player, you know, all that kind of stuff, when they mash them together, I mean, they come up with some really good stuff, but they don't necessarily come up with the chemistry that bands do that meet each other.
Sometimes, you know, it just doesn't quite fit together. Yeah. Right. It's great, but it's not awesome, you know. And when awesome is happening and you're in the room with the right people and you're doing amazing things, it just clicks. Fantastic.
Exactly.
I completely agree. And I think it's the fact is that you look at these super sports teams and stuff, and their problem is, you know, that you have the best all-star team possible, and yet they can't work together. They don't get along together. They all have their egos. And there you go. And instead of finding a team that works together, which we've talked about that theme in so many ways. And so now, Richard, organic is important. So definitely let's kind of go into our next question for Steve.
Yeah, so absolutely. Leading on, really, when things happen, maybe outside of your control. Steve, how do you feel about being inaugurated into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I mean, that's awesome.
Well, so I was over at Summer's house, and I dropped her off at work, and I was driving to my house, and I heard a Yes song, and you know, Alan White lives in the Seattle area, so we're really good friends with Alan, and then after that was done, they played a Heart song. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. Yes, and then Heart, you know. And then they say, and we'd like to congratulate Heart for being nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I was driving down the street and I hadn't heard a thing about it. And I just, you know, I thought, what? And I almost drove off the road. And, you know, of course, I welled up with tears and everything like that. And then, you know, a couple of years later, bam, we're inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it was such a great experience. And it for me, the acknowledgement that the original six, you know, Howard Leese, Roger Fisher, Mike DeRosier, Steve Foss, and Ann Wilson, and Nancy Wilson, that original six was the one that they nominated and put into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it kind of validated all the stuff that I've been thinking all these years about, you know, because the chemistry and the charisma that those six people had really made a difference as far as the success of Heart. I'm, you know, and it wasn't just Ann and Nancy in my book. You know.
Yeah. And that's exactly. And because of the story, and I know Richard has a question on that, of how the band got together. So Richard, you were very intrigued about that, and I am as well about that. So go ahead, Richard.
It's always interesting to kind of understand the foundations of things. So yeah, I think the honest question is, how did that all coalesce into something amazing? When did you start to realize you got something amazing?
Well, Roger Fisher and I, we went to the same junior high school, and because he's F. Fisher and I'm F. Fossen, we were in the same homeroom. So we became friends, and then one thing that we had in common is that we shared our love of music and how inspiring the music of the day was to us, and how we loved sound and lyrics and the chemistry and all that kind of stuff. So we talked about it for years, a couple of years. And then when we were sophomores in high school, we said, let's get instruments. So Roger got a guitar and I got a bass. And then we kind of went our separate ways. I got in a different band. He got in a different band. And we did all this stuff. And then a couple of years later in 1967, we were coming to my house, which is within walking distance of the school. And we were in my father's office downstairs, and we were talking. We said, let's start a band. And I know a singer and you know a drummer, so let's start a band. And so and we shook on it and said, we're not stopping until we make the big time. And that's what happened.
And more than that, in that story, how you kind of chose the right people to make Heart who they are today, right? Being one of the founders. Yeah.
Well, back then, there was a really good singer in our school called Don Wilhelm, and Raj knew a good, really good drummer, Ray Schaefer. And we had good chemistry and charisma and all that kind of stuff. But then, Roger Fisher and I were so ambitious, and you know how ambitious people can kind of make other people feel uncomfortable if they don't share that ambition. So, eventually those guys, Ray and Don, left the band, and we got different people. And of course the same thing happened a few times over. And then, so we were stuck, and everybody in the band had kind of got fed up with Roger Fisher and I trying to push him in, push him and push. That's what we were doing. We weren't mean or anything, but we were very intent on, okay, we have to do things right if we want to make it to the big time. So we put an ad in the paper, and we had an ad for a drummer, a guitar player, and a singer. And the singer that answered the call was Ann Wilson.
Wow.
And everybody met at a place over in Bellevue, which is close to Seattle. And needless to say, we all passed the audition. So we start, back then it was cover bands. Cover bands were it,
Right.
Because we played clubs. Sometimes we'd pull in on a Monday, sometimes a Tuesday, or sometimes a Wednesday, but you'd stay at the same club for the whole week.
Right.
Sometimes 2 weeks in a row. And when you did stuff like that, you really got to know the other people in the band, and you really got to know the material that you were working on. And because to keep up, you always had to learn a couple new songs per month. And then you did some, your favorite songs from the past. And then,
Yeah.
And it really taught us how to, learn songs and actually hear what's going on in the song so we could reproduce it and make it, pleasing to the audience. And then of course our ambition was still a problem for some people, but we found a kindred soul in Anne, who shared that drive, that ambition to take it to the next level.
Wow.
Neil, I'd just love to say, Steve, that was so interesting to hear you say that, because when you're on these big creative projects, they're very intimate. You spend so much time with people, like a rehearsal for music, like on a set, like a production development. You have to get on like a family, and it breeds, it engenders this amazing things that happen. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah. So, and during that time, Anne fell in love with Roger's older brother, Mike. And so the four of us had this, the core of the band, and we kept gathering people around us until we found as many people who were as ambitious and talented and driven as we were.
Do you have a crazy story about you know, touring and that is PG, but something exciting that happened to you. You know how at those, during that time period, 70s and 80s rock, we all know, right? Is there different things? Do you have an interesting story you can tell?
Well, I mean, there was an interesting story every day of the week when we were on the road.
I'm sure. I know on the road because I was a former professional wrestler, so I hit that road in the independent scene, but I know the road is a crazy place.
It's crazy. Like one time, Mike DeRozier, the drummer, was we were just tossing around the Frisbee, you know, in a field. We were playing in an outdoor arena and or outdoor, you know, like a festival or fair or something like that. And we were tossing around the Frisbee, and Mike went down to pick up a Frisbee and he broke his hand. Oh, this was just before a gig. During the gig, he had to wrap his hand, you know, they wrapped his hand in a big gigantic, you know, ace bandage or whatever it was. And he did the show and we got through it, and not very many people noticed that Mike was hurting, because he didn't, you know, he's a pro. But the next day, we took off in our private jet and went to the next gig, and Mike went to a doctor who actually put a metal strip in his hand right here, which he still has. Oh. And so for the rest of the tour, he had to, you know, gingerly play, but we made it through.
It's what I always talk about as a teacher and as a performer: monitor and adjust, because you never know what happened before you perform, that behind the scenes, right, Richard? You know that as well when you're putting together projects. The final product is not exactly what we want. We don't want to see the behind the scenes, right, Richard?
I've had a few producers and directors say, is this going to be like this when we actually shoot? And you're thinking, it was meant to be. We'll just change everything, and you know, suddenly everything's fine. But yeah, you have to react pretty fast.
I've recently came across this saying that built into every plan is a change of plans. You can get everything down to the nth degree, but the last thing that you say, but there could be a change of plans.
Totally. You have to be adaptable. And I think that's we're all creatives here.
Yeah.
And I feel, just very briefly, the creativity is that evolutionary adaptability to survive and to perform. The show must go on. And that's a perfect story there about your injured friend.
And I kind of reach back to, like, my father was in World War II, and you probably know people that were in World War II. Well, you know, they didn't go like, okay, so you guys can only attack at 9 a.m. You know, I mean, you had to be, you know, if you always had to be ready for the attack or to attack at any time when somebody came up and said, hey, you're going here, you're going there, this, you know, bombs are coming in. So you had to be ready 24/7.
Yeah, it's shocking. It's incredible, isn't it? I've got another question. Is now a good time, Neil?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready for that question. And that's involving something that's really becoming very popular. It's the hottest thing, and yet Richard the futurist really sees it big time. So go ahead with the question, Richard.
Well, I do a lot of conversations with NASA types and technology types, and this is really great new craze of celebrities going into space, and there's a number of rocket companies offering this. Who have we had recently? We have William Shatner went up, and I think, is it Justin Bieber has just bought a ticket to go up as well. Steve, would you consider going up into space? I mean, is that something that would get you, and how would you feel about that?
Well, space is really, you know, it's a fantastic frontier. I mean, I love it. And I like watching the History Channel or Smithsonian or National Geographic when they have a film crew on the, you know, the space station, and they're showing what the astronauts do, and the views out the window are fantastic. But I don't think that just popping into space for 8 minutes is really... I mean, I'm sure it would be really, really cool, and I'd never forget it, but I'd rather go up there and spend some time.
Yes.
At least circle the Earth, you know, for a couple of days so you can really get
it. Yeah, absolutely.
That's going to happen, Steve. That's going to happen. So I want to be, Steve, you know, I'm a retired professional wrestler. I wrestled with The Rock. I wrestled with all the guys in the Attitude Era. I want to be the first professional wrestling match in space. I'm calling it out right now. I'm calling out some person, you know, it could be a celebrity or somebody in space. Would you want to perform in space someday?
I don't know how it works though in zero gravity.
You know, they'll all have all that stuff figured out by then, Steve, but we're coming soon. It's very soon. And that's what we have to let people know. And Haley's Comet TV tells us, guess what? We're going to space soon. And it's a lot sooner than we think. And so wouldn't it be cool, a gig in space, if everything and being able to jam out in space, go ahead, do your selfies, go right out on Instagram and all those places. Can you imagine? Because think of the euphoria of performing in front of 80,000, 100,000 people or more that you've performed in front of. Think about that in space.
Yeah, I'm sure there's other bands that, we just went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction last month, and Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters were inducted, and he is such a great guy, and his band would probably be one of the first ones to go up there.
I'm just telling you, see, this is the thing, Steve, everyone's going to be performing. There's going to be hospitality. There's going to be hotels in space in 10 years. So you're going to get the opportunity to perform in space. Trust me, it's going to happen. People are going to be living in space earlier than you think. It's coming. It's just be ready.
Well, I can't wait till there's a Holiday Inn in space.
Well, yeah. You'll be booking
like Vegas, you know.
So basically you want to also, Steve, you know, you'll be talking about, yeah, I'm going to be in Chicago this week, LA, and then I'll be performing in Mars a month later. That's going to happen. Just keep trying to do it. It will happen. Trust me. All right. So yeah, good. What were you gonna say, Steve?
The Red Planet.
Yes, exactly. So, Richard, where can we connect with you? And then I'm going to find out how we can find out all the performances that Steve's going to be doing. But where can we connect with you, Richard? Where can we go?
With me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, you caught me completely unaware.
That's okay. No, your website for people. People can know.
I don't know if everyone can see that, but my new website, which is a bit of a strange one, but it's a tribute to David Bowie, and the URL is sonim, Sonic Image Sound and Vision David Bowie. So just put in www.son.im. And you'll find my website or find me on LinkedIn under Experiential Technologist, because that's the kind of weird magic I do these days.
And then, Steve, we're going to have on the descriptions for the shows and different things, all the tour schedule. But where can we go for people to get information on Heart by Heart right now?
Heartbyheart.com. It's got everything. Pictures, you can listen to some of our music. It's got show dates, everything.
And all your great performances are coming up. It's all, and touring is the greatest thing, isn't it? To have the roar of the crowd. It's the best rush in the world. Cause I remember in my days in pro wrestling, and I miss it, because there's not a rush of the crowd when you're doing podcasting, radio, or television, unless I get to a live performing audience. And when I get to speak, the same thing, when you get to speak in an audience and you hear that roar, there's nothing like it. It's the greatest drug that's safe for you, right? Is an audience, right?
I don't know if it's safe. Some people's egos can't handle it.
It's true. It's one of the things. Well, I appreciate it, Steve. Thank you again, Richard. And guys, that was the Haley's Comet TV show. Take care, guys.
Thank you.